fed up the anti-white system. The tune in to Radio Aryan.
On behalf of the team at Boadicea Events, I welcome you all to the first gathering here in Blackpool. It brings great joy for us all to see each other again. True nationalists with love of our Indigenous people, our country and our heritage. We hope you all enjoy this weekend, meeting up with old friends and making new ones. This is the first gathering. There will be many, and we will be joining with other Indigenous peoples across Britain and Europe with hope to bring us all together as one. Yeah. Yeah. Boadicea Events will give a media platform promoting the freedom of speech, expression and nationalist arts. Thank you again for attending this unique event. Our first speaker today has stood 5 times in local elections and 1 general election for the British National Party. He is an activist and an ex-serviceman, servicing in the Royal Marine Commandos. Please welcome Dennis Shanley.
I'd just like to... I'll tell you where I'm coming from initially, anyway. My grandfather fought in the First World War. He went in the trenches at the age of 42 as a private. He came out of the trenches in 1918 at the age of 46, still a private, in the East Lancashire Regiment. He went through 5 battalions. He lost 2 brothers before the war in a disaster of a coal mine called the Pretoria Pit Disaster, which is in a town called West Orme. It was called Pretoria because a lot of the people that worked there had fought at Pretoria in South Africa. He lost a daughter who was 10 years old in 1920. She fell in Brosden Brook and she got Wheels disease. And my father, obviously his son, he got wounded at Dunkirk and that killed him in 1946 when I was 3 years old. And I look back on what they went through and what all our families went through. Proper poverty and deprivation. And now the country, well, not at this particular moment in time, when you cast our minds back 20 or 30 years, when our country pulled itself out of recession and out of struggles, who's benefited from what they did in the First and Second World War? We haven't.
No, do you?
Yeah, that's right.
We've benefited nothing at all. I find it hard to believe that I've worked 50 years, right? And I get less than anybody that walks into this country with a sob story. Why have I worked all that time and I'm getting less than what they get to live on? If you look at that Grenville Tower fire, most of the people in there, they're on £500 a week rent. Although the biggest percentage of them had no right to be here, or a vast majority, were immigrants. And anybody who thinks that we're going to end this situation by talking about it, I think you're totally wrong. And as to regards to us being a terrorist organisation, we, the British people, or British nationalists, must be the worst terrorists in the world. We haven't killed anybody. All we've done is opened our gobs, got stuck in prison, and that's as far as it goes. I've actually fought against terrorists in. They were called terrorists, they were an organisation called FLOSSY. Now you might think that sounds a bit feminine, but it stands for Fighting for the Liberation of Occupied South Yemen. And I've also fought against an army, the Indonesian army. The Indonesian army, the difference between them and terrorists is armies wear uniforms, terrorists don't. In this country, they call the Muslims terrorists, but in my opinion, they're not. They're a very, very well-disciplined army. And if you think they radicalise the children to commit terrorist offences, you're wrong. They threaten to wipe their family out. And that's the way they are. That's their discipline procedure. If you don't do what you're told, your parents will get killed. So what do? They do it. But it's like everything else. All these poor lads have been radicalised. No, they've not. They're part of an organisation. Or they are, in fact, an army. Or they do wear uniforms. They wear burqas. Or they wear beards. Can anybody here tell me of any Muslim anywhere that's been killed in this country due to a terrorist offence committed by Muslims? I don't think you can. Because it's all planned out. It's not some of the radicalised who just run out of the house, run and throw a bomb at somebody, blowing himself up. And they get a cretin like that left-wing tosser, excuse my French, burn them. I was watching the news after the Manchester bombing, and he said, this will bring us closer together. We'll be stronger. I thought, you bloody absolute gobshite. An 8-year-old child had just been killed, and he comes out with a statement like that. In any other country, in my opinion, he would have been dragged out and shot in the street. Fancy making a comment like that. If his daughter had been killed, what would he have said then? That's what annoys me about these bastards. They're too short, two-faced, and false, everything they said. Persecuted, he's a persecuted minority. They're desperate to get him. Well, I think I'd be desperate too. If I walked into this country and just said, I'm being persecuted at home, or take the, I don't know what the population of Africa is, we must be talking about 2 billion people. Well, the first thing Cameron said when he came to power was, any homosexuals in Africa who feel like they're being persecuted can come into this country. Now, we elect him to represent us, but his first duty is to protect us. And by bringing people into this country, he's not even performing his first duty. I can't recollect Jack Straw when that aircraft landed at London with those Afghanis on. It kidnapped the plane and it landed here. And don't forget, he's the fella that knew the Muslims were raping our kids in Blackburn and all over the northwest of England. He said they consider white children to be easy meat. And they were easy meat because the police did nothing about it. And it was the Home Secretary. So he must have known what was going on, and he never told them to do anything about it. Well, as a matter of fact, can you tell me any copper or any politician who's had their daughter raped? Because I can't think of anything. And that's why I'm saying we're not going to talk our way out of this one. I'm reluctant to fight, but when I have to do, I do. And I think the country's come to a stage now where we're coming off all the time and making notes and all the rest of it is getting us nowhere. We have to terrorise the terrorists.
Yes.
Actually, that's a quote. It's a quote from Montgomery. He was asked what he would do about the IRA terrorists. He said, kill them. You can't, like I've said, you can't talk to these people. They've no rationale, not like we've got rationale. In fact, when you think about what they talk about, when they get killed, they get 77 virgins. And they believe all that rubbish. I mean, there's not 77 virgins in Wigan for a starter. I mean, it's a pathetic one. They believe all this rubbish. They look forward to death. They look forward to being killed. Because when they think they get killed, they've got to go somewhere else. And they'll live the rest of their life in a room full of 15-year-old virgins talking about take that and bloody wham, for Christ's sake. And it really, really, when you think about what they believe in, it's beyond parody, isn't it? You can't take the mickey out of it and say, well, it's just unreal, it's like a Monty Python film, isn't it? Well, they actually do believe in that. Did I mention the fact that when I said about the uniforms, not just the burqa, the beards, they know who are who. They're walking about in uniform. We are not. We're not organised enough. We're not disciplined enough. I
I think I've just about covered everything I was going to talk about, really. Yeah, that's about it. Thank you very much.
White system. Be tuned to the Pro White system. RadioArian.com.